All righty. Let's turn over to the book of Psalms. I'm sorry, it's the book of Proverbs. Where am I preaching from tonight anyway? The 2 to 4 year olds can go out, by the way. I always forget to announce that until I look up. So 2 to 4 year olds. Seth and Kaylin will torture you tonight. Proverbs 20. And I start in Proverbs 20 because I was reading Proverbs 20 on the 20th. And, read through here scores and scores of times, of course. And I'm going to take you down to verse 19. 20, 19. Proverbs 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. All right, I read that verse, and I guess the thought crossed my mind at the time that I thought about it, about how, you know, what a shame it is that human nature is such as it is, that our sinful nature, there's something about it that really longs to bear tales or to hear tales. So I got thinking about that and had some fruitful thought, at least I think. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness here unto us tonight. And Lord, we come to you about this matter of the sinful human nature that we deal with. But there's also a little bit of an other side of the coin tonight. I pray that you might bless a little bit of an unorthodox sermon. I pray that you might inspire some fruitful thoughts for us along these lines and in these measures. May you bless us for it, Father, our labors for thee in the field and also in the home and in the church. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the talebearer. In every level of society, in every culture in the world, whether it's a professional clique or a commercial clique, or just a personal clique, all the way from the palace down to the hovel, from the penthouse to the ghetto, there is something about human nature. People love to bear tales. It's called gossip. And there's something about it where we just naturally want to hear it as well. I have to admit that in all honesty, I mean, that's a statement of the human condition. It's the way we are. Some of you have, a relatively strong rein on it, and thank God for that. I'm glad for that. When I think about tale bearing, I keep picturing a Harriet Olson bustling across from the general store to the telephone or whatever it was, and she's cackling and giggling as she waddles across with her skirts across the street to go tell somebody something she just heard on the telephone. There's just something about it. And I have to say, one mystery in it to me is, I'm not quite sure that I fully grasp why it is that my nature just desires to hear something nasty about somebody, something private, something intimate, something titillating, something alluring, something embarrassing. I'm not quite sure I understand why my ear wants to tune to that, and I don't understand why my tongue wants to rush over and tell somebody that. If you understand it better than me, you tell me. I have some superficial reasons for it, but really, gets down to the bottom line, I really don't know why it is that tale-bearing and gossiping can be so tantalizing and so alluring, why it is so pleasing to the flesh and to the old nature to do so. Now, you may think this sermon is all about just scourging tale-bearers, and maybe it should be, but it's not. I told you I was thinking, which is a dangerous thing sometimes, as I read through my Bible. But in Proverbs 20, verse 19, I read, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." And the thought that struck me as I read that, I'd never thought of it too much before, is what is really a shame in view of the fact that we love so much to either bear or hear tales and lies or exaggerations or fabrications or gossip, It's really a shame that it's not as tantalizing and enticing and fun and enjoyable to be a witness for Jesus Christ as to bear tales about our fellow brothers and sisters or about just other men in general. It's just really, that thought really struck me when I thought that. There were several things, when I ran a little word search, there were several things that jumped out at me real quick, and I wanted to talk to you a little while about that. They struck me. So this is on one hand a rebuke, I suppose, a warning, a precaution with the tail bearing, but it's also on the other side an admonishment for witnesses. And so this is called tail bearers and witnesses. Turn in your Bibles. You'll keep your finger in Proverbs, but please turn to Luke 24 just a second. Luke 24. And Luke chapter 24, down in verse 11, the women come running up from the tomb that's now empty. Jesus Christ has risen, and they bring tidings. But it says in verse 11 that when the disciples heard it, their words seemed to them as idle tales. So, tale-bearing, idle tales, and they believed them not. Now, what these women told were not tales, nor were they idle tales. They were the truth, right? I mean, this became part of the gospel, that Jesus Christ had risen, that the tomb was empty. It was not tales, it was the truth. They were not tale-bearers, but it's also interesting that they were not believed. Because it just struck me as odd, after thinking about it this way, that as much as sinful human nature loves tales and loves gossip and loves fabrications, that, and I mean, there are people that believe that Elvis is alive because somebody saw him when they were drunk or something like that. People believe anything. So it struck me as a little strange that the tales, the truth, but what were they considered tales that these ladies told was not believed. People love tales. Why not believe that one? And it must, and that's what I'm trying to investigate a little bit. I guess my mind is still kind of wrestling with this paradox between how much we love to talk about other people, how much we love to hear talk about other people. Yet at the same time, when it comes to being a witness and talking about the greatest thing that ever happened on the face of this earth, we are intimidated and we don't want to do it. Don't you find that weird? It's weird, and I think it's weird because there's a spiritual import to it. There's a spiritual vector to it where the devil makes it tantalizing to us to want to tell tales on our brothers or our fellow man. But when it comes to witnessing the truth for Jesus Christ, which we are witnesses of, we just kind of shy away. We don't really want to do it. You know, it's just hard on the flesh to do it. So I wanted to talk about that for a little while. Again, tale bearers and witnesses. Go back to Proverbs 11 for a minute. Proverbs chapter 11. Again, a few things jumped out at me. And I'm just trying mainly tonight to, I don't know that I have the answer. Trying mainly tonight to get you to think about this and maybe examine it a little bit. I guess I'm examining the paradox, the big word is juxtaposition of how weird it is that we love so much to gossip. We love so much to hear tales. And yet, when it comes to being active, aggressive witness, it's just so hard. Doesn't that strike you as really strange? It's just weird. I mean, folks would go and walk across three streets across town to go tell some juicy nugget on some sister that got caught doing this or saying that or whatever, and you'll walk across a desert to go tell it. But when it comes to witnessing the truth for Jesus Christ, you're not nearly so aggressive. I just find it strange when you stop and think about it in those terms, right? Well, look at Proverbs 11. I found several things that jumped out at me about it. And in Proverbs 11, I read in verse 13, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Okay, a talebearer reveals secrets. Something is discovered, news that creeps out somehow, somebody sees that somebody do something they shouldn't do, somebody hears somebody say something they shouldn't have said, somebody is seen somewhere with somebody doing something they shouldn't have done, that sort of thing. Somebody had a fight and you found out the reason for the fight. Somebody left so-and-so and you know why the reason is that they left so-and-so. Why she got fired or he got fired. What somebody does habitually in private. And it's just, once you learn it, there's just something about human nature. And if it's not you that does it, somebody else that knows about it will. They just have to go tell somebody. And that somebody just has to listen because it's just so juicy. It's just so spicy, you just can't not do it. Well, they reveal secrets. They reveal secrets that should not be revealed. It is often something humiliating. It's often something very intimate and very personal, and somebody's really wounded by it, but it's humiliating. It's something. It's a confidence. Sometimes it's a trust. Somebody tells somebody something, and they confide in them. They trust them that they will not let it go further. But so often, it does go further, and the confidence and the trust is betrayed, and before you know it, an entire circle of friends knows it, an entire body of acquaintances knows it, and it's just, the secret is revealed. It is discovered, but it is just too sweet to conceal. It's just worth the risk to go tell it because it's just so satisfying to the flesh to tell it. And the Bible says a talebearer reveals secrets. Now, with that said, again, I was thinking about this. It's too bad that we are not as thrilled. It's too bad that it's not as juicy to us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ as it is to desire to tell tales or desire to hear tales or for you to have to crucify your flesh to keep from doing it. It's just really a shame that we don't get as much joy out of telling the truth about Jesus Christ in the Bible as it is telling what that Mrs. So-and-so actually has to pluck hair off her top lip or something. You know, it's just so juicy. It's just so spicy. It's just so fun to tell. It's just so fun to know. It's just so fun to talk about. Well, along that line, secrets are exactly what we're called to reveal. You know, I mean, it says there in Proverbs 11, what was that, verse 13? It says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So something intimate and juicy should be concealed by somebody that is of a faithful spirit. On the other hand, with the gospel, the secret is to be revealed by somebody that's of a faithful spirit. And again, I'm just talking about this, the secret. That is exactly what we are called to do with the gospel. On one hand, you're basically forbidden for doing it because this is your friend, this is your fellow human being, your brother or sister, and it's wrong for you to go tell it. It's wrong for you to listen to it. On the other hand, but it's just so juicy, you just can't help it. On the other hand, you have the truth of Jesus Christ, and you're nowhere near as aggressive about revealing those secrets to the lost as you are about revealing Mrs. So-and-so's secret to brother so-and-so who's your buddy. Isn't that weird? Don't you just find, is it just me or don't you find that strange? We are called to reveal secrets. For instance, now to him that has a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16, preach the gospel to every creature. You're called to reveal those secrets. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, it says that Paul's praying that you might understand his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. A mystery is something that needs to be revealed, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. A talebearer revealeth secrets, and it's wrong. A Christian witness is called to reveal secrets, and it's right. But he doesn't really want to. He has to push himself to do it. The gossip doesn't have to push to reveal secrets. The gossip loves to reveal secrets. The gossip hearer loves to hear secrets. It is juicy. It is spicy. It is saucy. It is fun. But boy, doesn't it strike you strange that here we have a secret, kept secret from the foundations of the world. It is the ultimate truth about sin and salvation and eternity. And we have to be kicked, poked, prodded, and hit with a cattle prod to move forward and actually witness to somebody. It just strikes me as strange. The only answer to it is the devil. You know, why would the devil, how could something be so tasty on one hand and so repulsive on the other? There has to be a spiritual element to it. So I want you to think about how juicy it is to gossip and to hear gossip. At the same time, how you have to push yourself that you have, now that you have the truth of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Just think about it. You're called to reveal secrets. Why do the cogs and the wheels turn that way? Why are we built like that, where we're more likely than not to be ashamed of the gospel unless we actually exercise ourselves not to be? But we will happily, readily, tantalizingly, alluringly be happy to go tell that Mrs. So-and-so plucks hair off the top of her lip. You know, I mean, it is just weird. It's just weird. So that thought was followed by this passage. Look in Proverbs 18. The talebearer shows up in various places. And again, this is just trying to, stir your minds with this paradox between these two positions and how one thing can be so sweet, so tantalizing, so titillating, so enticing, and everybody just loves to do it. Now, on the other hand, you have the most important message that's been ever carried to anybody, and the Lord has to boot, kick, and shove to get you to say something. You know, it's just weird. Look in Proverbs chapter 18 and go down to verse 8. Proverbs 18:8, another verse on the talebearer. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. There's another passage in Proverbs 26 that says the same thing. But the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Okay, those words are as wounds. That is the great truth about talebearing and gossiping. You can say all you want to. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words also wound me. I mean, they don't break bones or anything, but those words hurt, right? If you're the one being gossiped about, if you're the one who has some small but intimate secret revealed about you and people are talking about it, it hurts badly and the facts are carried out and so on. But to those words are added, you know, a little tantalizing innuendo, a little sarcasm, a little intonation of words that makes it all the more juicy to hear, but makes it all the more hurtful to you. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. A talebearer's words do wound. And so this point is words as wounds. Okay? We, by that standard, happily risk wounding our brother or sister in Christ or just another person. Because the risk is worth it, because it's just so alluring to tell this little juicy tidbit on brother so-and-so. You should see where brother so-and-so has a wart. It's just so juicy to tell it. And it's so juicy to hear it. You know? And I was thinking about that. Then I looked at the other side of it. And, you know, I saw those wounds that the talebearer causes, and then I thought about other wounds. For instance, I read, as a Christian witness, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing, that's a wound. Piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I, again, you know, read about, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Ye shall be my witnesses. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost reproves the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, at least in part, by a witness using the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, right? And faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so I'm saying, on one hand, it is so worth it to wound somebody about some titillating personal embarrassment. You know, what brother so-and-so did that I got a picture of. Here, look at this. Everybody's got a camera these days. Click, click, you got it. Okay, fast on the draw. Click, click, you got it. I caught brother so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da. Looky here. Whoa. Let's text that to somebody. Let's airdrop that to the world. We'll put it on Facebook. Oh, yeah. On the other hand, here you have the Word of God, and that Word of God is a quick, powerful sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and you have the power. You get up and you get on your back legs and stand up and preach the gospel to somebody, witness to somebody. And the truth is, maybe you do wound them, but faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? I mean, how is it that it is so worth it to risk wounding a friend for a gossipy tidbit, but it's so hard to kick ourselves forward to tell somebody what they need to hear, even if it offends them, even if it hurts their feelings, even if it causes you not to be invited back to Thanksgiving dinner? I mean, you would gladly risk that. You would gladly gamble with that, probably in some cases to pass on some gossipy tidbit, but to save somebody's eternal soul from hell. Oh, well, I got to be careful about offending people. My point is, what I'm really thinking about with this is just how weird it is. I mean, it's so inconsistent, it's so paradoxical, it's so, you know, on one hand, you know, it's so worth it to you to do this, but on the other hand, oh no, I don't want to offend them. Well, the issue is wounds for lies and fabrication's sake, for meanness' sake, versus wounds that might save their souls from an eternal hell. I'm just wrestling with kind of juggling this thing with how can it be so fun on one hand and such a forbidden, hard thing to do on the other? It's just weird. All right, notice something else. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. We talked about revealing secrets. We talked about words as wounds. Proverbs 20. Go down to verse 19. This is where we started. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his words. Of course, that's what a talebearer does. That word, meddle. A talebearer meddles. He meddles in other people's business. He meddles in other people's private affairs. He tells things he ought not. He publishes things he ought not. He broadcasts to sometimes the world things that he ought not do. That's meddling, okay? But it doesn't matter because it is so worth it. I mean, this guy is such a jerk, and you know what I saw him do? I saw him do this, and I'm going to go tell her and him, and they hate him too, and it is so worth it to risk hurting him. It is so worth it to risk meddling in his business because he so deserves it. We meddle. And on the other hand, as I said, the thought that struck me in the beginning of this was, It's just too bad that it's not as fun and as tantalizing for us to be witnesses for Jesus Christ as it is to gossip and bear tales. Don't you find that strange? It has to be spiritual. It has to be spiritual. We've said various things through the years. I mean, the hatred for the Jews has to be spiritual. Otherwise, it makes no sense whatsoever. Right? This thing I'm describing to you tonight has to be spiritual. The hour that you would love to hear a tantalizing little tidbit, you know, come over your text message about somebody, what somebody did, what somebody said, why somebody left so-and-so, whatever. And at the same time, you would not desire to go witness to somebody that you know that's lost. You know, you have one versus the other. Why is it like that? It has to be spiritual. It has to be the devil. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? Well, a talebearer of medals. Funny, that's what a gospel witness is accused of. It feels so intrusive. Sometimes you don't want to break the ice because you feel like you're meddling in somebody's private affairs, their private individual thing. It's just hard to break in because, you know, well, do you know you're going to heaven when you die out of the clear blue? It just is so intrusive. It's so personal. That didn't stop you when it came to gossiping. That didn't stop you when it came to hearing something about somebody that you kind of dislike, something embarrassing, something humiliating. Why would being intrusive stop you from trying to win somebody's soul? It's just a strange paradox, and it has to be spiritual. The paradox strikes me. There has to be something spiritual in it. Let me take you to another verse. I'm almost done, actually. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. I am the world's worst. I have to summon all this courage and jack myself up and push myself off and make myself witness to somebody cold. I don't know what it is. It's just, I weigh 250 pounds. Why should I be scared of almost anybody? It's just, I'm 53 years old. Why should I be scared of talking to a punk kid somewhere? It doesn't make any sense at all. But nevertheless, most of us struggle with that. And it just strikes me as really strange that even if I have, you know, mortified myself to not yet lend ear to the average gossipy tale, I know deep down inside I would love to hear this gossipy, juicy tidbit. Why don't I want to witness as bad as I would want to tell a tale? It's just strange. It's just really strange. Proverbs 26, verse 20, I've looked at revealing secrets. I've looked at words as wounds. I've looked at meddling. Look in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. When there ceases to be fuel for the fire eventually burns out. And where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Okay? So the word that I want to look at next is strife. You know, when I think of strife and the gossipy, tale-bearing, little snitty stuff, I always think of a junior high school girls. And by the way, junior high school boys are not much better. But junior high school girls, I think of little cheerleading squads where everybody's jealous of everybody else. And she likes this boy, but she likes this boy more, and so on and so forth. And it just goes meow, from there. It's just a cat fight. Just snitty, you know, meow, 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 meow. And it's just tail-bearing, just talking, talking, talking. And then I think about stuff we see going on in our world. I think about how you let a white cop defend himself and shoot a racial minority. And boy, the media and the race baiters and the social activists are on that as fast as sharks are on blood. You can't run Jesse Jackson off with a stick. They're just, you know, just constant talk, and they just, the media just will not let it go. It just goes on and on and on. It's just strive, 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 talk, 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 tail bear, publish, 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 broadcast, broadcast, broadcast. That's it's what keeps things stirred up, right? And I think about, and I don't watch, you know, reality TV, obviously, Survivor and all this kind of stuff, but that's the outstanding thing that attracts people is the conflict, the strife, the little snitty stuff where so-and-so is nasty all the time, so you're against nasty old so-and-so all the time. And he's always lying and always doing this, always underhandedly doing this, that, or the other. And again, I don't watch reality TV. I'm just saying I know that's the attraction to it because that's the attraction to the media. That's the attraction to a junior high school girls gossiping about each other and trying to destroy each other's reputations. That's how things work. That's how the world works. It's strife. But boy, it's okay for a race baiter to get on and say all kinds of nasty stuff about Jews and, you know, white people and rah, rah, rah. It's just terrible, you know. But boy, you let a preacher or a Christian or a Christian witness, weigh in with a Bible verse, and they want you to shut your mouth real quick. You're the cause of all this trouble. You know, it's just strange. And so I say, you know, we are called to strive for the defense of the gospel. We're called to earnestly contend for the faith. They strive for racial disunity. They strive to stir things up. They strive for anger. They strive to stir the mob. But when you say something pro-God, you're told to shut your mouth. And so I'm saying, you know, this whole issue of the talebearer is strife. And yet when we are called to strive for the gospel, we're told to shut our mouths. You know? Look at one more thing along this line. Look in Leviticus. I'm going to take you back to Leviticus to find the last talebearer. Actually, the first talebearer in the Bible. Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. And I've said it a dozen times, and I just say it again to summarize. I preach the sermon, and in the end, I don't have a conclusion. I'm a little baffled beyond the spirit, you know, the spiritual explanation, the devil, of why it is that we, it's just so titillating to hear or tell some nasty little tidbit on somebody. But it's so hard to take the whole complete truth, the absolute truth of the universe, and approach aggressively a sinner with that truth. It just struck me as so weird. And again, I just wish that I loved witnessing for Jesus Christ as much as my flesh wants to hear and tell fantastic little tidbits of damaging information. Am I alone, or is that just strange? I have one last thing to point out to you. Leviticus chapter 19, and notice down, well, in verse 15, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. This is, of course, Levitical law to Israel under the law. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. And as far as I can see in verse 16, standing against the blood of thy neighbor would be an idea. The idea of me standing as a witness, like at a trial, that would either cost somebody a scourging or a flogging, or else cost them a stoning. Like, those witnesses were hired to do for Jesus Christ when they lied about Him and they got Him killed. Right? So that's what that's talking about, but it's blood. It's blood. The talebearer has blood on him. Okay, he's responsible for blood. I ask you to turn to one more place, then we're done. I just want to say that as you rejoice, if you rejoice, over titillating, tantalizing, enticing, alluring fabrications or even truths that are embarrassing and humiliating about either your brother or sister in Christ or maybe even somebody, just another man or woman somewhere, you know, there's an element of blood in that, and so there's blood in this as well. Look in Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. And go down to verse 18, Ezekiel 3:18. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now, I know this is law. I know this is Ezekiel. I know it's Israel under the law. But, you know, if there's a spiritual application to it, it's very serious that we would not warn everybody that we know and that we can with the utmost zeal of what's ahead if they don't get right. Right? There is an element of blood. Look in verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And I just wanted to point out to you that with the talebearer, there is an issue of blood. And again, the paradox here is how much fun it is to be a part of the cycle of hearing and bearing tales. It's just, to human nature, it's just pigs in slop. It's just, it's dogs with vomit. They just can't avoid eating it. There's something about human nature. But at the same time, as much as they love hearing and telling that, boy, when it comes to the truth of the gospel, eternal truths, somehow, you know, it's just not nearly as fun. In fact, we have to push, shove ourselves to do it. And again, the thought just struck me, boy, wouldn't it be something if I could get my mind right where it would be as much fun for me to be a witness for Jesus Christ as to be a gossip or a gossip hearer. And that's the thought I'll leave you with. And I'll let you think for a while about, you know, why that paradox exists. And maybe we can all get our heads on straight. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you tonight for this. I pray that you might be able to use it, Father, to help us be honest about evaluating ourselves and maybe find an answer in there somewhere, Lord, that'll shove us forward to be more conscious, soul conscious, more desirous, Father, and more joyous to go do something for you, try to witness to a sinner. I pray you'd help us in that respect, and we pray in Jesus' name. Let's turn to number 436. 436. It's a little bit of a bouncy song for what was preached tonight. Maybe the Lord dealt with you about something in the message. I'll give you an opportunity to come here for just a few minutes as Jenny plays.
this way, we'll sing the second stanza of number 436. The altar is still open. Brother Todd, would you pray for us in closing, please?
Lord, just help us to believe tonight, Father. Be witnesses for you. Pastor got hit in the reverse tonight. Lord, think back to a time when we had an opportunity to witness and fell short. Lord, I just pray that the boldness, we use boldness to speak to those who are lost and realize their condition for eternity. I just pray that we can be bold and any tracks telling others about them. Lord, thank you for the truth. Thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the truth and life implemented in fresh every week. Lord, I just pray we can be faithful in our Bible reading, church attendance, be prayer for one another. Lord, just building each other up. Thank you again for this time tonight.
Amen. Don't forget to sign up for the state fair, pass out tracts, and don't forget there's fish in the freezer if you want to pack it up.